And then we had the return of Christ. Then we have his millennium reign. And now we are at the great white throne of judgment. Amen? Amen. Praise God, we ain't going to have to stand at this great white throne of judgment. If you're saved today, praise God. John chapter 5 is going to begin that. It says, this isn't John, this is just our application. It says the ultimate death sentence, the lake of fire, or the second death, right? So it's referred to in Revelation as, says, awaits every person who has not repented and believed in Jesus Christ. It is imperative that we point the only Savior God has provided, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 5, verse 22. I'm going to pull it. 5:22 is where we're going to begin at. It says, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they shall, or hear the Son of God, and they that hear shall live." Right? That's that resurrection. It says, "For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. And they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Right? So we already had that resurrection of life up until this point, right? That was the resurrection of the saved. And, I mean, we are resurrected before the tribulation, right? Or, yes, we're raptured before the tribulation, not the resurrection, forgive me. But it says something that I found interesting in this. I know we're short on time, but I really like where it says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me." That's like its own trinity within that, right? Because Jesus is the word, right? And he's talking about being sent of God. And it's like God speaking through Jesus, as he speaks through every other prophet in here, right? He says, "Verily I say unto you, that he that heareth my word," being Jesus, being himself who's speaking, "and believeth not on him that sent me," which is God. And you see what I'm saying? It's a cool little thing there. Anyways, we'll move forward here. It says, "Jesus has the authority for all judgment. Jesus will judge the saved at the judgment seat of Christ." In verse 24, it says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Right? That means we skip the death, we skip the damnation, we are passed into heaven, that eternal life, the everlasting life. It says the judgment seat of Christ will be a judgment according to works. Right? So you guys see the difference there between the great white throne of judgment and our judgment, right? Because we're saved, so he don't see us, he don't see our sins, he don't see our works, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ, amen? But in this, they're judged off their works, because they don't have the righteousness of Jesus Christ to stand before them. They don't have the name of Jesus to proclaim their sin, to cover their sin, amen? It says they'll be judged of their works. This is the resurrection of life. Jesus will judge the nations. He will also judge the unbelievers at the great white throne of judgment. The great white throne of judgment will be the final judgment. This is for those that have done evil. It is called the resurrection of damnation. Unbelievers condemn themselves by rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior. They already stand guilty before God. Amen? This is all of us did. Before we accepted Christ as our Savior, we stand guilty before God, because by nature we are sinners, right? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, as the Bible says, right? So before we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are damned already. Amen? You guys with me? It says, unbelievers appear at the great white throne of judgment to bow the knee before Christ before entering into eternal torment. In Philippians 2:10, it says that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of the things in heaven, of the things of earth, of the things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the God the Father, at the great white throne, Jesus will receive the glory unbelievers have refused to give him. Amen? So it's at a point to where we either repent and bow before Christ and accept him as Lord and Savior now, or that day we repent, it does no good, and we realize that Jesus is God. You see what I'm saying? It's like now or never, really. Now is the day of salvation, as it says, right? But it says, unbelievers condemn themselves by rejecting Jesus Christ as their Savior, right? He that hath not the Son hath not life, right? He's condemned already. It says, they will appear before the great white throne of judgment for sentencing. Go with me to Revelation chapter 20. Revelation 20, verse 11, says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Amen? Amen. Whosoever is not found written in the book of life. How we get written in the book of life? How does our name get there? Getting born again, right? Trusting Christ as our Savior. That's how our name gets written in this book of life. I mean, until then, we're condemned already, as it said, right? Because we have not believed on the only begotten name of the only begotten Son of God. We have not trusted in Christ as our Savior. So it's up to us. Because if you notice these, throughout this 11 through 15 here, it says they were judged according to their works, right? The blood of Christ, it covers our works. It covers our sins. It pays the atonement needed for our salvation. Amen. But if we don't have that, then we are going to be judged just as these people are. We're going to stand at this great white throne. If we don't have Jesus Christ, we're going to stand there and we're going to give account for the good that we did, right? Which is none. Amen. Because until we have Christ and the Holy Spirit working in us to do good works, then there is no good works, right? God tells us that our righteousness are as filthy rags, that they're worthless, that anything we try to do to appease our sin or to do good, it's not good because of our sin. But yes, they'll be judged according to their works if we're not saved. It said, the sea gave up their dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. It says, when the resurrection and the death occurs, this creation will be no more. At this time, the earth and the heaven fled away. Other than standing before the great white throne, there will be no place for them. There will be no place for them in heaven. There will be no place for forgiveness. There will be no opportunity to get right with God. Their eternal destiny is sealed. It will not be a judgment where it will be determined if one's good works outweigh their bad works. No one at the great white throne of judgment will have any good works. They will receive the ultimate death sentence. Spiritual death is eternal separation from God. They will be tormented in the lake of fire forever. The only place for unbelievers to go from the eternal punishment. They will not go out of the existence. The unbelievers will be awake, alert, and aware of their torments and their rejection of Christ for all eternity. Amen? They're going to be aware of this, right? It's not just like the switch is turned off and then there's just no more existence, right? Like, I mean, that would be hopeful compared to hell or lake of fire eternity forever. I would just rather not exist ever. But the thing is that it's real. And they chose to reject Jesus, right? Their Savior. They chose to reject his righteousness. They chose to reject his works. They chose to reject God. And when we choose to reject God, we get to go to a place that has no God. That God is his hand is off, or his hand is there, but it's God's wrath, right? I mean, the creator of the universe. Think about how much wrath he could pour out that we can't even fathom. You know what I mean? There's good of God that we can't fathom. The love of God we can't understand, right? The knowledge of God we can't comprehend. But imagine the wrath of God, right? We think hell and brimstone and fire, which are those things are status, so that's where we get that from. But the actual severity of it, you see what I'm saying? Like, it's past what we can even imagine. Like, I mean, we think hell is bad, but then he's going to take hell and cast it into the lake of fire. So the lake of fire is way worse than hell, right? Says the face of Jesus, the judge, will be forbidding, from whose face the creation will flee away, but the unbelievers will not be able to escape. And Hebrews 9:27 says, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment, right? There's no waiting room. There's no purgatory. There's no, just sit here, and if your family gives this much money, you can get out of this place and go to heaven instead, right? There's none of that. There's to point in a man wants to die, right? And after this, the judgment, right? Immediately after. It says, there's one appointment an unbeliever will not miss. There will be no mercy at the judgment seat. All those there will have rejected every offer of God's mercy. Amen. We all have mercy right now, right? We woke up today, amen. We have another opportunity to accept Christ as Savior, amen. We're hearing his word right now. We're able to accept and understand that Jesus died on the cross for our sins so that we don't have to pay for our sins for eternity in hell, amen, at this great white throne of judgment. Praise God. It says, there will be no mercy at the judgment. All those there will have rejected every offer of God's mercy. The basis of the judgment will be according to their works. As it says in verse 12 there, Revelation 20, it says, they will be judged out of those things which were written in the books. Jesus will open the book of life. To their great dismay, their names will not be found written in the book of life. It will be an impartial judgment, just as whosoever will is God's fair plan for his salvation offered to all people. Whosoever rejects God's plan of salvation will be cast into the lake of fire. Some view this as God sending them to hell. What actually occurs is that each one chooses his own eternal destiny during his life on earth. God simply honors his choice. That's the love of God, right? You don't want to be here? You don't have to be here, right? You don't want to believe on my son who I sent to live a perfect sinless life and not indulging in all the sin like you did? You know what I mean? He's tempting always like you were, like we were, right? But he chose not to sin just so that he could die for your sins. And you choose to reject that. That's fine. You want to reject that. Amen? It's sad, though. I mean, many people do it every day. It says it will be an impartial judgment. Some view this as God sending them to hell. What actually occurs is that each one chooses his own eternal destiny during his time of life on earth. God simply honors his choice. He provides the transportation to the lake of fire. Whether rich, poor, famous, old, young, God will make no exceptions. The people of this judgment will be people who knew the judgment of God was ahead but chose to ignore it. Romans 1:32 says, who knowing the judgment of God and they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Right? So not only do they know that this is sin, that this sin is against God, and this sin against God will send them to hell, but they enjoy it, right? Right? Everybody enjoys sin, don't you? Like, I mean, that's the lust of the flesh. That's what makes us happy. That's what our flesh desires. Amen. When we fulfill that desire, that's what makes us happy, right? We think. That's how Satan, being so subtle, he works and he tricks us, right? We don't think we're doing good. It makes us happy, right? It's what the world tells us. Do follow your heart. Do what makes you happy. Make it yours. It's your choice, right? It's crazy. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, worthy of hell. It says, not only do them, but have pleasure in them that do them. What kind of people will stand before the great white throne? In Revelation 22:15, it says, for without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. These words describe the Christ rejecting people who will stand before the great white throne of judgment. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and the nations that forget God." There will be people at this judgment from every nation. Go meet Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12. I'm almost there. There we go. Verse number 2. Oh, I'm still not there. It says, "And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they must be wise, they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever." It says the great white throne judgment will be a resurrection of death unto shame and everlasting contempt, as it says in the verse there. It says soul winners know that hell is real. They urge believers to turn to Christ. Those who do turn to Christ will not stand before the great white throne of judgment. Soul winners will shine brightly through eternity. Amen? Do your job, Christians. People depend on us. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, verse 46. It says, "Then why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whoso cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to him whom he is like. He is like a man which has built a house and dig deep in a foundation on rock. And when the flood arose and stream beat vehemently upon the house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Amen. When that storm of trials and tribulations and temptation to sin come, amen, we'll stand firm because we're built on the rock, right? We're built on the solid word of God, on his doctrine, on his rules, right? And we will be founded on the rock. We will not shake. But verse 49 says, "But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man without a foundation built his house upon the earth." That's dirt. It says, "Against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and it ruined the house was great." Right? That's those who don't have God. I mean, it could even be those who don't apply God's word. It says, "He that heareth and doeth not." Right? It could just be us there in church every week, and we trusted Christ as Savior, but every week we hear these messages, and we don't apply nothing to our lives, right? That's the house that gets destroyed. That's the house that gets tossed to and fro with different doctrines. That's the house that's disturbed and disgruntled and worried and angry, and because you don't have the Spirit in you, right? The Spirit's there, but it's this little dim light hid under a towel in a corner, right? You got to take the towel off of it. You got to apply the word. Says unbelievers will spend eternity convicted by their own refusal to do what Jesus said. Salvation is not a secret or a mystery. Anyone can do what Jesus said. Everyone who trusts in Jesus builds his house on the rock. Those who do not trust in Jesus will face eternal damnation. John chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 18 says, "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Amen. If you have not believed in the only begotten Son of God, you are condemned already. Right? Yeah. You guys with me? Amen. But God commanded his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, right? Even though we are condemned. That's the reason why Jesus came, lived a perfect sinless life to die on the cross for our sins, right? And rose again 3 days later and was seen of many, so that we may know that there is hope from this sin, right? That there is hope after death, that we can trust and believe that he's worthy. Amen? that his sacrifice was worthy for our sins, and then we can have 100% faith in what he did on the cross as payment for our sins, because there's nothing we can do to pay for our sins other than trusting what he did for us. Go with me to verse 36 of chapter 3 there still. It says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." It says unbelievers will not get a verdict overturned at the great white throne of judgment, right? It's not like a lawyer is going to come up with some new evidence or some new hope, or somebody's going to come through and confess to the crime for you, right? He wanted to confess to the crime for you, but you didn't want that. It says the verdict is sure. Every believer or unbeliever is condemned already because he has not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is a simple truth that he that believeth not shall not see life. Man, some heartfelt verses today. John chapter 12. I mean, this is judgment. This is reality, right? How many people die every second, every minute? I was at this missions conference a while back, and this guy that was preaching, he had a timer set up, and it would tick, tick, ding, tick, tick, ding, tick. And the whole time he's preaching, every ding, three people went off into eternity. Tick, tick, ding. It was, right, it's crazy. Like the numbers that, and I mean, just hearing that, yeah, it makes you more noticeable of these things, there's people standing at this throne in judgment right now, right? There's people that are being judged. There's people that are being cast into fire. There's people that have rejected Christ. And it could be for several different reasons. It could be because they didn't want him. It could be because of somebody who they thought was a Christian didn't live their life properly, and so why would they want that God? It could be because something happened in their life to where now they think God is responsible and they hate God for it, right? It could be several different reasons, but it's our job to show them the love of God, right? That he so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. It's our job to go ye therefore and teach all nations, right? Proclaiming the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I mean, it's our job to witness and to make sure that there's as little people here at this great white throne of judgment as possible. Amen? Amen. I'm glad I'm with me. John chapter 12, verse 48. Says, "He that rejected me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me. He gave me a commandment. What should I say? And what should I speak? And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Right? He didn't come to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him. Amen. Anything Jesus says is straight from the mouth of God, right? It says those standing at the great white throne will be those who have rejected Christ and his message of salvation. Jesus' words will be the basis for judgment. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." In John 10:10 says, "He also said, and ye will not come to me that you might have life." Right? You'll not come to me that you might have life, right? You know that he is the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. But you won't come to him, and therefore we won't have life. And it's not this life, it's eternal life. Amen? It's eternal life or eternal death. But it's the death that keeps dying that is the hard part to accept. I mean, death would be easy, right? I mean, people, it talks about just during the tribulation, the people are, they're praying for death, right? But they can't die during that time period. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, says, "And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that he is which was ordained of God to be judge of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins." That's forgiveness. That's peace with God. That's heaven for eternity. That's life. Amen? Since Jesus will judge both the quick and the dead, the quick refers to those who have been made alive in Jesus Christ. The dead refers to those who refuse to receive everlasting life from Jesus Christ. Whether they believe or not, Jesus is the one of whom all the prophets witness. Amen? All of them. Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus is the one they're speaking of. Said, before Abraham was, I am. That is like probably the most powerful verse in the Bible. Other than in the beginning, God created. But, I mean, it's like, man. He didn't even say I was. He said, I am. So much in that. Acts chapter 17. Acts 17, verse 31. Says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he raised him from the dead. So God hath appointed a day for the great white throne of judgment. Jesus will judge according to righteousness. It will be impossible for those who say there is no life after death to make any excuses when they stand before the one which hath given him, or which hath given assurance unto all men in the day that he hath raised him from the dead. Holy Spirit conviction and the opportunity to be saved are guaranteed to all. Amen. Revelation chapter 13, last verse here. Revelation 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. The fireman Hebrews, that's a good verse though. Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. The same way we got saved yesterday, same way the way we get saved today, same way we get saved forever. Amen. Revelation 13, verse 8. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose name are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Says those who appear at the great white throne of judgment will be those whose names are not written in the book of life. Says the resurrection unto death will raise every unsaved person to stand before Christ. All those without Christ will be there, both small and great. It says in Revelation 20:12, it says, after the judgment, there will be eternal punishment in the lake of fire. People will be judged by the words of Christ, not by the opinions of people. Amen. It don't matter what we think is right. It don't matter what we think is just, what we think is good. Thus saith the Lord. It says that some say they have an agreement with God, but they will not say they have experienced the new birth. The only way to come to God acceptably is on His terms. God's terms are clear. God demands repentance. In Luke 13:3 it says, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. God also demands a new birth. Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, or unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3, or also, yeah. It says, there will be many at this judgment who will be surprised to be there. Matthew 7:22-23. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The relevance of the study of the great white throne is that everyone who has not trusted in Christ is headed there. And these people proclaiming that they've done these things for Jesus, these are people in church every day or every week. People that are out passing out tracts, out witnessing, but they themselves are not saved, right? They have not accepted Christ as their Savior. Says it has been said that the road to hell is paved with good intentions, right? There's a lot of good people in hell. A lot of people that we think are good, right? God don't think they're good. Their sin condemns them. Road to hell is paved with good intentions. No one at the great white throne will plan to be there. Look at this, man. This is like the deepest thing I've read in a good while. It says, when the last breath comes and the last heartbeat has passed, there are no atheists. Whew. Right? Because it says every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, right? It don't matter if you believe in him or not. We're all going to stand there one day. We're all going to stand before him because we dying after this, the judgment, right? I'm going to read that again. It says, when the last breath comes and the last heartbeat has passed, there are no atheists. Satan has deceived people into thinking there will always be more time and other opportunities to be saved, right? I'll think about it. Maybe later. Not right now. No. Those who believe the devil's lie will be standing at the great white judgment throne, or throne of judgment, with all of the other unbelievers. God's word reveals it is foolish to rely on being saved at a later time. 2 Corinthians 6:2 says, for he has saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I secured thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. One may put off going to the doctor, paying taxes, going to the groceries, but it is a tragic mistake to put off being saved. Amen? I've always given this illustration. Like, think about the people, think about 9/11, right? They went to work that day. How many times have you ever went to work thinking, oh, well, there could be an airplane that crashed into the side of this building today? No, right? It's like me talking right now, the whole ceiling just fall in. Like, you don't think about that stuff, but it happens, right? Like, now is the time to be saved. Now is the time to be saved. Amen? Now is the time to be saved. So the only way to be listened in the book of life is to trust Jesus and be saved. The saddest words that will ever be spoken will be given at the great white throne of judgment. Jesus the judge will say, I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, guys. It's not what I say. It's not our rule. It's not Glory Baptist Church. It's not just what we believe. It's what God says. Right? This is his word, right? Holy men of old spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, right? These are God saying, write this down, right? Just as he did Moses when he brought him up into Mount Sinai and he said, write this down, right? Amen? Amen. It's God, people. It's not our opinions. They don't matter. It don't matter if we think stuff's right. It don't matter if we think they all should go to heaven and heaven should just be tainted with all this sin and we're okay with that because we're used to sin here on earth and nobody should go to hell, but sin can't be allowed into heaven. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today, God. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you if anybody's not saved, Lord, that we can simply get saved just by trusting you, Lord, that we don't have to do no kind of walking across hot coals or no kind of crazy works, Lord, to be saved. God, that we could just simply repent of our sin and ask you to save us, God, that we can trust in what you did on the cross as dying, living a perfect, sinless life to die on the cross for our sins, Lord. We could trust that is good enough to appease the wrath of God, to prevent us from going to this lake of fire, God, and to give us eternity in heaven with you. Lord, we thank you for the peace that you've given us who are saved, Lord. We thank you for the assurance that we have through the Holy Spirit, God. I just pray that you may help us to be good ambassadors for your name's sake, Lord, and witness to those who are lost, Lord, that we may seek and search and find them and pray for them, Lord. And God, I just pray that your holy name may be glorified. Praise the name of Jesus.